Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, in the gate of Samaria." Let's look now at verse number 2. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof." And verse 3, there were four leprous men at the entering end of the gate, and they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die?" You may be seated. I'm going to talk to you for a few moments on same message, different miracle. I use the word miracle loosely there. It's always been amazing to me how that the Word of God can go forth with such different results in different people. The soil does matter. The human heart does matter. When I was researching this text this week, I thought so much of one of my friends that I travel with. It was in the early 1970s that I met him because I was preaching in Austin, Texas. Great church in Austin, Texas in those days, and it's the reason why I still have a heart for that church today and preached there a few weeks ago. But it was a great church, a great revival church, and it was a street church. We had a great building, but we were on the streets a lot in the 70s, University of Texas, and down the drag and on 6th Street and down, that's the Armadillo headquarters, all in that area. And it was a great time of revival in Austin, Texas. But one night, I remember particularly because we would have a lot of, it was during the era of the hippies, and the hippies would be there packing that place out every night. It was an amazing time, and the students of the University of Texas were there. And I remember one night, there'd just be such odd characters. It was such an odd collection of people. But I remember one night, particularly, there was a guy and his girlfriend. They were living together and going to the University of Texas, and they came to that service. And when we gave the altar appeal that night, he came. And I never will forget, he was kind of a small guy, and he didn't have a shirt on. We pretty much allowed anything. We were just after souls. We let them come any way they wanted to come. He didn't have a shirt on, but he had a pair of bib overalls on, which was so funny because he was not a farmer at all, but he was dressed like a farmer. He had on bib overalls, and he had a pair of cowboy boots on with those bib overalls, and he had taken a can of spray paint, white spray paint, and painted those black boots white. And he wasn't a country guy at all. He was very well educated, and his dad was a real estate broker here in San Antonio, and I later met him. But anyway, he came to the altar that night, and he knew nothing about God. Highly educated, knew nothing about God. But he had a life-changing experience, a transforming experience. And he was filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we had a trailway bus that we'd converted, and we were traveling all over America having crusades. This is in the early 70s. And he was a talented guy. He could sing and play the acoustic guitar. And so he became a part of our group that we traveled to Michigan and New York and Kentucky and Florida and all across the United States together. And he was a big hit. He was a little guy, and people just loved this guy. But that night, it was quite a night, because as he was seeking the Lord for the very first time he'd ever been in a church like that, his girlfriend came up. She sat back while he came forward. She came up and tried to drag him out of the altar, literally tried to drag him out of the altar. And he got filled with the Holy Spirit, and he tried to share with her what had happened to him. I don't think it was that same night, but it was just a few nights. If it was not that same night, we had a terrible tragedy happen. I got up that morning, the next morning, picked up the Austin Statesman, and on the very front page of the Austin Statesman, there was a picture of the tower at the University of Texas. And there was a picture of two shoes. They were sandal kind of shoes. And they were sitting with their toes protruding off the edge of the ledge. And the caption was the note that she had left in those shoes. And it said, "Walk a mile in these shoes." She had stepped out of her shoe, stepped off of that tower, and she was the reason why they changed the architect and put some guardrails and things on that tower today. She stepped off and died on the cement below. But that was the same couple. The point I'm making is the drastic difference that service had on them. To one, he became a gospel preacher, changed his life totally, very effective. His mother was one of our first converts here in San Antonio. She came and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit when we started the church here a couple of years later. And so he affected so many people, became a gospel preacher, very effective at what he did for the Lord. But for her, it just brought her to a moment to where she was totally devastated with life, and she took her own life. I've always found it amazing that the same service, the same message, can have such a different effect on people. It happens here regularly. The Spirit of God moves, the Word of God goes forth, and somebody goes out and they just said, man, that's the worst thing I ever saw. Or they just go out, they're noncommittal, nothing. And then somebody else is radically changed for life. What is the difference? It has to do with one thing, and that is whether you believe the Word of God or not. That was Jesus Christ's main message in his ministry was, believe what you hear. Believe the Word of God. And so this prophet stands up, and the situation is very unique. It is about the city of Samaria. The city of Samaria was under siege by the Syrians. They had surrounded the city. They had cut off all traffic into the city, all supply lines, and it had been ongoing for some time. And so because of that, there was no food available in Samaria, and they were literally starving to death. In the midst of that, the prophet of God, Elisha, stood up, and I read you what he said. Tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of flour be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. It was a revolutionary message. It was counter to everything that was going on. Not one positive thing had happened in Samaria for weeks and months now. They had devoured one another, they had killed one another, they had starved to death, they had eaten their animals, and they were dying one by one every day in that city. And a prophet stands up and gives them a report that all of this is going to be better. It's all going to turn around. There's going to be a change. Tomorrow is going to be a better day. The best is yet to come. The message that God always brings forth, that if you will adhere to the Word of God, and if you'll let the Word of God come into your spirit, tomorrow is going to be better. The best is always yet to come if you will believe on the Word of God. And that's God's message to this church in this day that we live in. We might look at America and say it's more hate-filled today than we can remember it ever being today. But I can tell you, according to the Word of God, if we will receive God's prophecy that this is going to be a better day, tomorrow is going to be a better day. The best is yet to come. But everybody is affected by that in one of 3 ways. The first is the hungry multitude is simply fed. They were starving to death, but the Word of God came to feed them. The Bible said that we are not fed, and we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There are people all over America, all over San Antonio, that are spiritually starving to death. No matter how successful you are in life, if you're spiritual starving, you are miserable. That's the reason why successful people commit suicide. Did you know that more successful people kill themselves than unsuccessful people? People that make certain attain certain things in life kill themselves because they are spiritually hungry and they simply don't know how to be fed. The church fails them in feeding them. Philosophies of secularism do not feed them, and they simply think there's no hope, and so they take their own life. It's a terrible thing. But when people hear the Word of God and they respond to it, they are fed, much like the Samaritans in that city. Now, they did not respond just to the Word of God. It took those men that heard the Word of God and having a result in their life to go out and evangelize them. That's our responsibility and roles as Christians. We can't just say, well, if they want to get saved, they'll come to church. If they want to get saved, they'll watch a Christian telecast. No, we have a responsibility to go to them and say, I was as you are. I was miserable, even though things in life had come to me. I still was not satisfied, but I had an experience with God, and give them your testimony. That's what happened to the city of Samaria. They was not just converted by the message and the prophecy of Elisha. The four lepers went to them and witnessed to them. And so there are three groups here. There are, number one, the city of Samaria that was sustained by the prophecy that Elisha gave, and it saved them from starving to death. But then there's another man. The Bible calls him the man on whom the king leaned. In other words, he was the king's main counselor. This was the guy that always gave the king advice. And when Elisha gave forth this prophecy, this man responded in a way like many people do. He literally began to mock Elisha and say, that is the biggest bunch of poppycock I've ever heard. Things are not going to change. It takes some faith to hear the word of God and to believe the word of God. When this man heard the word of God, he said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, that would happen if God would open up, if God would make windows in heaven. He made a false assumption, and that was that God had to change. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you today that God doesn't need any changing. He is the same yesterday and forever. He is a mighty God. He is the God that was, the God is, and the God that will be. He is an eternal God. He knows what he is doing. He said, I saw the end from the beginning, and the end is a great success. God is a God of success. If you choose to ignore God, you will not be successful, but God's going to be successful. And so I choose to put my attention toward God and say, I believe the word of God. So he said God would have to make some changes if this was to happen. God would have to change his attitude toward mankind. Ladies and gentlemen, I find a real problem with the world. The world does not think that God is who God is, and that God is like God is. They think that God is non-caring. Atheistic are those people that say there is no God. There are few atheists in this world, but there are a lot of agnostics, and that is that we don't really believe that God cares that much and that God is that involved. Both of those theories are wrong. There is a God, but he is also a God that cares. He suffers for us because of our alienation from him. The Bible calls it long-suffering. And so this attitude of this man on whom the king leaned, he said, God's got to change. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you that God is a good God. He needs no change. His arm is not short that he cannot save, and his heart is turned toward humanity. If God was a God like the agnostic thinks he is, a long time ago, God would have abandoned mankind and we would have ceased to exist. But God is long-suffering on this earth. It is not the will of God that any should perish. I know that we that are saved sometimes lose patience with the unsaved, but we should not, because God does not. God looks at this world and he still loves them regardless of who they are. I saw Mr. Farrakhan gave a speech a few days ago and he said Christians have got it all wrong. He said God doesn't love this world. Mr. Farrakhan is one of the most articulate speakers I've ever heard, but he's dead wrong, with the emphasis on dead, because God does love this world. He loves every human being. The ones you can't stand, God still loves. The ones you gave up on, God is still reaching for. The Bible declares that God has such an attitude that no man should perish. The Lord is not slack, the Bible said, concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, that not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is the God that I serve. God needs no change. His compassion is fruitful. His mercy is great. He is suffering that all will come to him. God's will is abundant life for all of us. The Bible declares that Jesus came that we might have life and it more abundantly in John 10:10. the things of heaven are not available to the inhabitants of earth, according to the man the king leans on. But I want to beg to differ with him. He's absolutely wrong. The only difference between me and the man the king leaned on is I believe the word of God, and he did not believe the word of God. Your faith in what God says is the difference maker. I believe the word of God, regardless of circumstance, regardless of appearance, regardless of the way things seem to be. I'm going to stand on God's word. I'm not abandoning God's word. God's word is true. God's word is yea and amen. God is infinite in his wisdom. He is fulfilling in his promise. And that God is in this building right now. And there is a devil in this building that is telling you the same devil's lie that he told that man that was leaning, that the king was leaning on. And that is not possible. There is not a God that can do this. He can't change this around. It's too drastic. We're starving to death, and tomorrow there's going to be plenty. The devil said, that's not possible. That's what the devil is telling somebody in this building. Your circumstance is too difficult. Your circumstance is too dire. It's gone too long. There's no way that God can turn around in 24 hours. But I've come to bring somebody a message that in 24 hours, not 2 or 3 months, but in 24 hours, God is going to change somebody's circumstance. But the difference is you've got to hear the word of God and you've got to believe the word of God. It was the same message that the Samaritans heard that Elisha delivered at the gate of Samaria. It was the same one that the man that the king leaned on heard, but there were 4 other guys that were in another situation. They weren't just hungry. They were not unbelievers. They were dying men. There's somebody in this building today, maybe somebody watching online. It's not just that you're hungry. It's not that you're an unbeliever. It is that your situation is desperate, and you are in desperation. You are the person that this message is designed for. I'm preaching to somebody that is desperate for change in your life. If something does not change, you can't go on. If something does not change, you don't want to live. Well, friend, I want to tell you that my God is the author of that change. He's in this room today, and God is speaking to somebody, to the same message, to somebody that discounts it and throws it away, and their life just continues as it was. To some people that say, well, that was good and that blessed me. But there's another person, like the 4 lepers, say it wasn't only good, it was life-altering. It was life-changing. It was transforming. Somebody in this building needs a transformation in your life. And when those 4 lepers heard that word come forth, they simply said this, why sit we here till we die? I love this text because that verse has a particular meaning to me. I've shared it with you before, but I used to be on the radio 3 times every day, 15 times a week I was on the radio. And on one of those broadcasts, it was on early morning, about 5 o'clock I think it was, or 6 o'clock. I think it was 5 o'clock. And so I was preaching on the radio that morning, and that was my text. Why sit we here till we die? When I got to the office about 8 or 9 o'clock that morning, the office was not yet open. The secretaries hadn't come, but there was a woman sitting there leaning up against the building right next door. And when I walked up there, she said, are you the preacher? I said, yes. She said, I heard you on the radio a while ago. She said, I had a gun to my head in the trailer home where I lived. I was getting ready to pull the trigger, and she said, for some reason that I didn't understand, I reached on and turned on the radio, and the first words I heard were you saying, why set you there till you die? She said, I was seconds away from dying. But she said, I didn't pull the trigger. I'm here, preacher. Please help me. I took her into that auditorium next door. I led her to the Lord at the altar. Nobody around. I baptized her in water, and she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She went back home and led her family to the Lord. I have a great affinity for this text, and that is, if you'll hear the word of God, it can change your life. Don't be like the man that the king leaned on and say, oh, it's not possible. Yes, it's possible in your life. That God can heal your cancer, that God can fix your marriage, that God can deliver you from your depression, no matter what it is. In those days, I was preaching a lot on PTL out of Charlotte, North Carolina. It was worldwide. I left in just a day or two to go to Charlotte to preach worldwide. And I shared that story. And the next Monday, I was home. That was on a Friday that I shared it on PTL worldwide. The next Monday, I turned on my TV. Jim Baker was there. He was interviewing a man from Atlanta, Georgia. And there's a man from Atlanta, Georgia. He said, this was my story. He said, I had a gun in my hand in my office tower in Atlanta, Georgia. I was just getting ready to kill myself. I turned on the television. Some preacher from Texas was talking to you, Jim, about some woman that was going to kill herself. He said, I laid down my gun. I got on my knees and gave my heart to the Lord. Oh, I have affinity for this text. Ladies and gentlemen, it works. I don't care how desperate your situation is today. God is able to deliver you out of them all. Four lepers, their bodies being eaten away by that disease. They had been expelled from Samaria. They were now victims of Syria, victims of Samaria, and victims of leprosy. They were three-time victims. It doesn't matter what a victim you are today. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you that God is in this house. Your problem is not too big. Your sickness is not too great. Your circumstance is not too dire. My God is able. Don't sit there and say, oh yeah, if God would make windows in heaven, I tell you that the windows are already there, and God will open up those windows and pour you out a blessing that you're not able to contain. The result is drastically different. The result is drastically different. The man on whom the king leaned, the Bible said that the very prophecy came to pass. And you remember what the prophet said? He said, you'll see it, but you'll never partake of it. You'll never eat of it. And the Bible said the king assigned him the task of crowd control, taking care of the gate. Those people were so hungry that they mobbed that place called the encampment of the Syrians, and they found all the food and all the gold and all the silver. But the Bible said, and I bring you the worst part first, the Bible said that he was trampled in the gate and he died. Friend, I can promise you today, if you choose to discount the Word of God, if you choose to discount Christ, if you choose to ignore God's plan, that your dreams will die at best and you will die at worst. Ladies and gentlemen, hear what God is saying to you today, and that is, I want to be an actor in your life, the actor in your life. I want to change you and transform you. And so the Bible said those four lepers said, we hear till we die. But the Bible said it was in the twilight, and the twilight always represents that time between darkness and light. In that time of your life when it's difficult to make a decision, they say twilight is the most difficult time to see of any time of the day. But the Bible said in the twilight, those four lepers rose up. But I like what it says. When they rose up, God made the Syrians hear. Not four men walking, not eight lepers walking, but suddenly in the enemy's ear, in the camp of the Syrians, they heard a great army coming. They began to discuss among themselves and say, the Samaritans have hired armies to come against us and we're going to be destroyed. And suddenly the camp of the Syrians was evacuated and they all run off and they left all the silver and all the gold and their horses and their food. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you right now, if you will say yes to God's word, if you will believe the word of God, God will put such fear in the enemy. The very thing that he's trying to steal from you, God will give it back to you. Supernaturally, God got involved in that warfare, and God will get involved in your life. It doesn't matter how bleak it seems, God is greater. All you need is faith in God. All you need is faith in the Word of God. God can make the darkest night bright. God can make death come to life. God can make poverty turn to prosperity. God can break the bondage. God can break the shackles. If you were in the first service, we heard those chains breaking. And somebody in this building right now, you've got to make a decision. Are you going to be like the man on whom the king leaned? Or are you going to be like the four lepers that were three times victim and say it simply does not matter. Why said we here till we die? We're not going to die. We're going to get up and believe the word of God. And God's going to heal our body. God's going to restore our life. God is going to change us. Can you give God some praise in this house today? I praise you, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, there's somebody in this building that needs a mighty miracle in your life, and the devil has told you it's hopeless, it's too late, it's too difficult, but the devil is a liar. Whatever the devil says is always wrong. He's been speaking that into your ear. You need to stand up. Get out of your pew. Don't even wait for the altar call and say, praise God, I am coming down to that altar and I'm going to let God transform my life and change me in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Why set you there till you die? Get up and believe the word of God and let God bring a great miracle to pass in your life, in your family. In the name of Jesus, I call it done. I call it done in Jesus' name. There's somebody in this building right now that you're going to have the greatest miracle of your life this week. This week in Jesus' name. You just need to get out of your chair and come up here and claim it. Don't be a disbeliever. Don't be an unbeliever. Don't be a skeptic. Say, I'm going to accept the word of God at face value. God said he will, and I believe he will, and I'm going to let him become a real factor in my life. In the name of the Lord Jesus, my sister. Praise God. Can you believe God? You see, the doctor said one thing, but God says another. The banker said one thing, but God says another. Your boss said one thing, but God says another.